Well, thank you for allowing me to come back. I'm feeling good. Jamie said I looked joyful, which is a good thing. Been last couple of days. It's nice to be here out from under the heat. I've been running down and back and forth to LA getting AC units for the house, and went down and got it, and I'm thankful to be up where we're at. So I went down on, what day was it? It was Friday. So Friday I went down to pick up this, it's called a swamp cooler, and I had to go down. They didn't have anything around here. I had to go down into LA to go get this thing. And by the time I picked it up at 9:30 in the morning on Friday, and it was already 106 degrees in LA as I was leaving. So I thought, oh man, this is going to be tough. So anyway, it's nice to see that it's cooled down. It's relatively cool, I guess, as compared to the last couple of days. So anyway, we are going to talk. Next step is here is Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I'm extremely excited. I can say that it's interesting, as I was preparing for this message and I was just kind of going through what I felt like the Lord was sharing with me, and verses after verse just kept coming up. Usually I kind of have a theme and all that, but it was unbelievable how many verses just kept coming up all over the Bible. So we're going to be going through several verses, and stay with me on some of these things, but I truly am excited, and the fact that I looked joyful today really, it brought me a lot of joy, because that's what this book is really all about. So let's set up real quick. Actually, let me pray one more time, just so the Lord is with me, and then we'll keep going. Father, we give this time to you. Lord, would you just please calm my heart and anoint my lips to express the things that you've put into my spirit. To express, Lord, may they be conveyed well, may they land on soft ears and hearts, and Father, may you just move through us and be with us. We're here because of you, and you are majestic and wonderful and glorious and worth every minute of our time. So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's just start real quick. I'm just going to run through the first 11 verses that we looked through last week, but this is just to set the stage of what's to come. So Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. And I'm just going to stop there. Just as we look through this, just keep a mindful sense of how much joy that Paul has here. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Okay, so far so good. He is just a sense of joy, right? It was probably expressed last week that this man, the Apostle Paul, is in chains. He's in prison right now. And yet, think of his mindset. Think of how much joy he brings to this. So let's keep going. Christ is preached. This is verse 12. We're going to look through verses 12 through 18. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Oh, that's so good. I'm just amazed at Paul's mindset. of just joy. And when we study Scripture, when we look through Scripture and we want to try and pull out what is going on here, we want to look at what is repeated. What are the themes? What sort of words are coming out over and over and over again? And if you look at verses 12 through 18, which is what we're talking about and looking at today, we see the word chains mentioned three times. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. In seven verses, he mentions chains three times. We're going to talk about that at first, but and then we see the words further the gospel, speak the word, defense of the gospel, preach Christ. Preach Christ is said three times in seven verses. So first we're going to look at the chains that Paul was Paul is in. So the first thing I want you to notice, verse 12, it says, the things which happened to me. Most of Paul's, can you put up the map actually at first? So let's take a look. Hopefully you can see this. To worry about, you know, being able to see the names of the cities and all of that. But the point is, we're not going to necessarily go through a history lesson here, but the point is that Paul went all over the place. Okay, he had four separate missionary journeys. And you may be familiar with this, you may be not, but you can see he's gone all over the place. Look at the amount of towns and cities and areas and regions that he covered. He went all over the place preaching Christ. And what's amazing is that we get a preview of what to come. See, Paul again talks about his chains that we are in. Let's look at verse 12 again. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What's he talking about? What's happened to him? Yes, he's been in prison. But I think if we look back even more so than just what his individual circumstance is right now, these things that have happened to him, God uses circumstances in our life to build us up and to further his kingdom of God. And in Paul's case, we get a precursor of what's to come in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. It says, but the Lord said to him, this is meaning Ananias, for he, meaning Paul, go, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, this is when, before he became Paul, he was Saul, and this is when Ananias went to go and anoint him. The scales fell off of his eyes, and he was lit on fire by the Lord, so to speak, and away he went. So we know that he was set to suffer. God says, I will show him how much someone is to suffer for my name's sake. And so through this process, Paul is running around doing all of these things, and that in itself looks impressive. But I want you to see through this process what Paul actually went through. And we see in Acts, the book of Acts, and we see throughout the process, if you go through it and read it, and if you've read it, you know, great. If you haven't, I recommend going back through with a lens of everything that has happened to Paul. Everywhere that Paul has gone, we see at the beginning of Acts where the church is formed, the Holy Spirit comes in Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit comes and the church begins to grow. Paul gets converted and he's off and running around, going all over the place. But you would go to the next slide, if you would, to be able to show, this is going to be hard. I'm going to read these, don't worry about it. But these are the hardships of the Apostle Paul. I found this list, and it's quite amazing to me. Again, this is if we keep this in the context of what Paul is saying here in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Again, not just what we're talking about here in Philippi, but all of these things. What I have here is the verse. This is just in Acts. Okay, and what's in red is all of the various cities or regions that he's gone to. Let me read this through as best I can, not to take too long, because there's so many things here. There's 24 things there to listen. But let's go through with this. It says, number one, his life was threatened in Damascus. So his life was threatened. His life was threatened again in Jerusalem. Then he was persecuted and run out of Antioch in Pisidia. Then he faced possible stoning at Iconium. Then he was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. Hopefully you know what stoning was back in the day. But if we look, in fact, I'm going to just read this real quick. Acts 14, chapter 19. I didn't necessarily have this in my notes, but I was looking at it before this morning, actually. And I just was amazed again, if you have not read this passage. It says, Acts 14, 19 says that then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Think about that. That is when someone comes up, they're so mad at him, they all gather huge boulders, and they just start throwing rocks at him, knocking him in his head, knocking him, beating him down so hard, rock after rock after rock after rock, that he falls down, collapsed, bloody as all get out, right? Just completely drained of any strength and energy, so knocked out that they think he's dead. And they drag that body out of the town and lay him outside thinking he's dead. He's like, good riddance. And this guy, Paul, then it says after that, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. This guy, Paul, is so hardcore that for most of us, you would think, okay, if you got beat up that bad, that if somehow, some way, you can get up off of your feet, excuse me, I think I'm probably going to leave. Next up, he actually gets up and goes back into the city where he came from. That is hardcore. But that is what God has used with this man, and we're just getting started with this list. So he was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. He was opposed and made the center of controversy. He experienced the loss of his close friend and co-worker, Barnabas. He was beaten with rods and imprisoned in Philippi the first time around. Now he's writing to the Philippians, but the first time around he was beaten with rods and imprisoned there. Then he was cast out of Philippi. Then his life was threatened in Thessalonica. Then he was forced out of Berea. Then he was mocked in Athens, then taken before the judgment seat in Corinth, then opposed by the silversmiths in Ephesus. You can see, as we were talking about the map, he's going all over the place. Then he was plotted against by the Jews in Greece, apprehended by the mob in Jerusalem, arrested and detained by the Romans, barely escaped being scourged, which is whip. It's like the Lord Jesus had, where they whip him, and it's got all the it's like shards, like metal shards on the end of a whip, and it goes and like rips into your skin. He's rescued from the Sanhedrin mob action. Then he had an assassination plot against him. Then he had a 2-year imprisonment in Caesarea. Then he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Then, while he was on Malta, he's there ministering to people, and they're making a fire, and a viper comes out of the fire and grabs onto his hand, and he should have been dead then, and he's snaps the viper off and keeps going, right? This guy is just, and then he gets finally imprisoned in Rome. And now he's writing to the Philippians. Okay? That's just the beginning. So when he says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, can you see the weight behind that? Sometimes we just read through it and it's like, oh, that's great. Hey, God's good. No, this guy has a mindset. When he says that, you have no idea what I've been through. And yet it's okay, because Christ is being preached. In fact, he's probably thinking, man, after everything I've been in, yeah, I'm in prison, but hey, I'm sitting down, I have a place to sleep, I have a place to sit down, I'm getting some food, I have people to talk to. I mean, relatively speaking, I'm not getting scourged, I'm not getting beat, I'm not getting stoned, I'm not getting beat by vipers. I mean, I got a pretty good gig here. You know, so he has this mindset of joyfulness. And what we can see down here, so if you want to study the Apostle Paul and the hardships, we have this here. You can also look through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's the other kind of area that we see, and I'll just run through this very quickly. But again, I want you to paint a picture here, first and foremost, of where his mindset at and what that means for us. Anytime we study Scripture, we want to know, okay, what does that mean for me? Well, let's talk about that. But first and foremost, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, It says, verses 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. This is Paul speaking. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure, meaning like whipped. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means 39 whips. They were not allowed to go over 40. If you whip someone 40 times, there's scripture in there that that's a big no-no. So it was 40 strikes minus one. So 39 times, 5 separate times he was whipped 39 times. Means 195 whippings. Just stripe, 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 right? So from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? Now listen to what he says. After all of that, what comes upon me daily, he says, my deep concern for all the churches. That's amazing to me. After all of that, he just went through that massive list of everything that he has been through. And what's his concern? Not, Lord, can you just help me survive? No. What grieves him is, how are you all doing? Don't worry about me. How are you all doing? That is such a sense of joy and of purpose. And what it brings to mind is that it's up to us to have joy, to have a mindset, regardless of circumstance, wherever you're at in your world. And hey, I've walked with the Lord 20 years. I'm now 46 years old. I've lived a lot of life. I lived a lot of life before I knew the Lord, did some crazy things, had crazy stuff happen to me, and I've walked with the Lord, this year, August 1st will be 20 years exactly. August 1st, 1996, excuse me, of when I gave my life to the Lord. So it's coming up on 22 years. But it's up to us. It's not up to anyone else to make us feel better. It is up to us to have joy. And we can count it all joy when we have difficulties. It's really up to us. One of the, if you want to keep looking, you can go through and read Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 about some additional hardships that Paul has. It really is unbelievable. But he does say in verse 10, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. I mentioned there, the verses just kept coming up and up and up, and so I just want to share them with you. It says Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That is so important. That is so important, because it is very easy. And I'll admit, it's interesting, when I preach, it's like the Lord sometimes brings me through situations where I have to actually walk out what he's asked me to talk about. And there was a time earlier this week where there was just something going on, and I was like, man, I'm done, Lord. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. I don't need this, you know? And he showed me through the process. It was an amazing day. I don't have time to go through it today, but an amazing day of where I was in this funk, and actually I didn't want to have to do with this and this and this, and I was honestly kind of feeling sorry for myself. I really was. Sometimes we don't realize that, because we get, you know, it's all about us all the time, right? And so I'm thinking about this, and I remember I was getting ready to text. I have a good group of guys that we kind of keep each other accountable. We'll pray for each other, things like that. And if you don't have that sort of group, I highly recommend it, because none of us are called to live this life alone. We have the Lord to walk with us, but he also puts brothers and sisters in our lives to be able to lift each other up. And I was almost at a point where I was going to text them to say, man, I could use some prayer. I feel like I'm getting attacked, spiritually attacking, all this stuff. And in the midst of it, the Lord asked me to just stop. He said, why don't you just thank me for something? And I was kind of mad at him, you know. I'm like, because I was just feeling sorry. I was kind of mad at the Lord for some stuff. Again, God's good. Of course I know that. I'm up here speaking, right? I love the Lord, but we all get that way. And he's like, why don't you just thank me for something? And so I did. I started going through purposely saying, Lord, you are good. You're worthy. You are faithful. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my beautiful kids. Thank you that I get to live in Santa Barbara. And I wasn't even happy to be in Santa Barbara at the time, honest. So that was a forceful, you're like, yeah, tough stuff, Jeff, Santa Barbara. No, I was wanting to get out, but I was like, no, Lord, thank you for allowing me to live here. People pay all sorts of money around the world to come here, and you've put me here, right? And so then I started just thanking, and all of a sudden it started coming. The Lord started reminding me of all of the things that he had done, even while I was here, of all the things that I at some point or another wanted in my life. Just being, whether it was friendships, whether it was stuff to do, whether it was, the whole spectrum of stuff. And it started just going and going and going and going, and it became such an amazing time. And the moment I took my eyes off of my circumstance, which was a false perception anyway, but the moment I took the eyes off my own circumstance and began to just praise who God was, the character of God, just who he was, everything shifted. And can I tell you that later on that day, this was Wednesday. Later on that day, I had the most amazing breakthrough, bless you, in my work. And that wasn't even on my radar. Like, it wasn't even something I was praying for. It was just kind of a side deal, something I was kind of stressed about for months. But it wasn't part of my prayer. Like, and it didn't even add to my anguish. He had something come about in my job that was such a praise report. Like 15 minutes before my wife and I were heading down, we went down to Hollywood to minister some people. So that was Thursday. And it was just a crazy testimony. But what it caused me to realize as we look through these scriptures that it's up to us. It's up to us. We can have horrible circumstances in the natural, but it's up to us to remember who God is, that he is faithful. And this looks like, you could very easily, if you went through all this, you could honestly just say, you know what, God, you're a bad God. Like, look at this. I am busting my tail out here trying to help you get this word out, Jesus, and look what I'm going through. You're a bad God. But he didn't. He knew that the Lord was good, and he was using this for his purpose. Because the reason I highlighted all that stuff in red, look at all those places he went to. That was by design. He's not just going to go on a little cruise and get around to all those places back in the day. He went not only to the city, but then he got imprisoned, and he was going to, now he's preaching to prisoners. Now he's preaching to guards. Now he's locked up in chains, and he's a Roman citizen. Now he gets to appeal to Caesar. He gets to do all of these things and broadcast the gospel to all sorts of people that would not be able to be reached had he not been willing to go through this. And I will say, too, even though that is difficult, that says a lot about who Paul is, right? If God uses you in a way that he brings difficulty in your life, don't get mad at God for it. I'm telling you, I don't know how long you guys have walked with the Lord, but the Lord is good, and he uses every single circumstance for the purpose, if you're willing to go through it, for his purposes. There are things that I've gone through that I would not wish on anybody, but now I'm actually thankful for it because the crushing process allowed me to grow and to be strong and to kind of have larger shoulders, if you will, to hold the weight of responsibility and things that he's asked me to do that I could not have done early on. So have joy in the process. I'll keep going with a few of these. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And there's a random quote that I love. I found it a year and a half ago, a couple years ago, and I actually have it up on the wall of my office. It's not a scripture, it's just a quote. It says, champions are not made in the ring. They are merely recognized there. Meaning if you watch a boxing match, if you watch a MMA fight, if you watch whatever sort of, you watch a sprint race, you're watching the World Cup right now. The champions are not made in the ring or in the field or in the arena. They are merely recognized there, which means, yeah, they may have gotten the trophy or the belt or whatever it is at the end of that match, but champions are built through all the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in prior to that match. If you don't put the blood, sweat, and tears in, if you're not forged and strengthened and hardened for the task at hand, for the match that's to come, you'll fail. You'll never even get to be a champion. So just know that through these trials, that is one of the many reasons why we can be joyful and we can maintain that joy, even if we're not feeling good in the moment, when we turn our eyes to the Lord and say, yes, I know you're good, Lord, and you are going to work things out, and I'm willing to submit to this process because you have something better in mind, then we're able to shift our mindset and have that joy. Okay, secondly, very quickly, second thing to notice, have actually turned, this is verse 12 again, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest. Now, I'll mention this very briefly, I already did, but and the Lord will use you through divine appointments, through favor that is unwarranted, honestly, whatever. He will connect you with people, put you in circumstances that are going to be perfect for you in order and to fulfill the gospel. Some of you are in college. You're going to be getting out. You're going to be looking for that right job. Pray that the Lord, truly, I mean, yeah, it's easy to pray, God, give me a job or give me the right job, but truly go with it with a mindset that, Lord, you have a plan for my life. It's not just to go get a job and to make some money and to provide, but Lord, you have a destiny and calling and purpose for my life. There are people that you want me to impact. There are people that you want to impact me. Help me to submit my life to that. Give me the right job. Give me, position myself with the right boss, with the right influence around me, with the people that I can influence, and Lord, let your will be done and watch what he does. He will do things that it will blow your mind. You can get on LinkedIn or monster.com, whatever, 300, 400, 500 resumes could go out. If you submit that thing to the Lord, he will give you the perfect job. Someone will probably call you and say, hey, I saw your, heard about you. How'd you hear about me? I talked to this person, this person, this person. It might be three or four levels of separation, but they'll find you and you'll get that job. Those sorts of things happen all the time, I'm telling you. Third thing to notice, verse 13, Paul says, my chains are in Christ. I had mentioned, he mentioned my chains three times in this short little section of the chapter. So we need to look at, okay, what are your chains? He is chained to Christ, yes? He's in prison, but he says, my chains are in Christ. Well, can I tell you that all of us have our own chains? Every one of us are chained to something. It might be multiple things. But what are you chained to? What am I chained to? It could be, and it may not be bad. It may not be bad. Here are some examples. You are chained to the desire to be successful. You're going to do everything getting out of college. You're going to go. That is what you are doing. You are driven, and you want more than anything else to get a title, or you want to be successful, or you want to have something on that business card that says, I am this, so that everyone knows that I have arrived and I've achieved well and I'm something in society and I make a bunch of money and all that. Okay, fine. If that's what you're chained to, realize that there are consequences to that. Anything that you're chained to is going to affect your life in tremendous ways. It's not just about this is what I want in life, these are my priorities, but when you prioritize something, it means other things need to lower in priority. So if you want to be successful, if you want to be loved and adored and looked up to, then you're going to, maybe if it's in the workplace, you're going to work longer hours in order to get that promotion or be successful. Okay. But know that now you're spending less time with your family. Right? If I want to go off and I want to do these things for my career and I want to go up the corporate ladder because that's what I'm chained to. Well, now all of a sudden I'm on the road more and I don't get to see my beautiful kids over here. Right? Well, now if I'm chained to, I want to be the best husband and the best father I want to be. Great, that's honorable, that's wonderful. But now that's going to cause it a price. If I need to make certain choices, work-wise, time-wise, whatever, if they're my priority, then that's going to, other things are going to have to go by the wayside, and that's fine. But just know, understand, what are you chained to? We see that in, I was just in Hollywood on Thursday. People, all sorts of people in the industry, actors, comedians, artists, they're down there. They're creative, they're artists, they're beautiful, wonderful people. They're some of the few people that we've met that are in Hollywood and love the Lord, and they're in the lion's den down there. But outside of them, you see people that they'll do anything to be adored. That's what they're chained to. They just want to be famous. Well, there's going to be choices in the matter. Paul was chained to Christ, and that gave him the strength to get up and get moving all the time. Now, those are kind of things in the natural. There's also things in the spiritual or kind of emotional things. There's other things that could keep you in chains. Some things are like inner vows, like, I will never do this. My dad was this. Nah, I'm never going to be like my dad. Or I'm never going to be that like my mom. Or I'm never going to be that sort of mom like my sister is. Something like that. Maybe there's curses that were there, word curses upon you, or maybe you curse someone else. Those bind us. There's emotional trauma. Maybe you went through some horrible things as a childhood that have still scarred you emotionally, and they just kind of, anytime you think about it, it's like kind of triggers you, and it's like, man, it's just like, it just beats you down. And you might be 15 years removed from that. It still beats you down. There's that emotional trauma. That is a chain that keeps you locked up. There's unforgiveness. Maybe if you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, that just can just put you in chains. And the hard thing about unforgiveness is that usually the person that you need to forgive is off running around doing their thing in life. They don't even know that you're still eat up inside. But that unforgiveness keeps you in chain. Maybe it's a stronghold. It talks about in 2 Corinthians. A stronghold here literally is a place of fortification, a system of thinking, which is a house of lies contrary to the word of God, which allows demonic spirits to hide and live and work in our lives undercover. So it's a stronghold. It's a way of thinking. It's a buying into the lies from the enemy that are counter to the word of God. It could be about your identity. It could be about a situation. It could be that things are hopeless, that God can't deliver, that you'll never get out of this, that you are, you're not smart, that you're not, whatever it is. It can be all of these lies that are completely counter to how God sees you or to the character of God. And those strongholds lock us in. Those are chains. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So, what I want to express to you, because I want to finish up here in just a couple minutes, but know that Jesus, he came to break the chains. Whatever you have chained yourself that is not of the Lord, that's fine. We all have things that he has called us to do. But if you are chained up and bound up with chains that are not godly, know that Jesus came. The gospel is true. The gospel is real. There is supernatural power. The Holy Spirit is upon us. Jesus came to break the power of the chains in your life, and you can be broken from those. All good so far? Okay. Verse 14, "Most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." I mentioned this last time I was here, but know that, be bold in the Lord. It's important. There's so many times where someone doesn't have the strength to be the one, that tip of the spear, if you will, that goes out there and is really at the forefront of what needs to be said. It's a hard, and I'm telling you, and you all of us, I think, can agree. I don't know that there's, I'm not going to go political, but I think all of us realize, say, the political climate of this age right now, right? It is a dangerous place. That all of what was, hey, you can have a different opinion than me. We can have different worldviews. We can have different ideas. I may disagree with how you live your life or what you think about a situation, but we can maybe have some respectful dialogue and hopefully meet in the middle and, you know, let's go about our ways and still be friends and maybe make some progress. That used to be the case. Now, it seems like anybody that speaks up, and I'm not taking any political stance, on completely one side of a situation or the other, in anything in society, someone takes a stance about anything, and it's like one person speaks, 100 people try and vilify him, and they try and beat him down. It's a horrible situation. But know that when you see that, think of Paul. Think of the strength that he had. He went out and was the tip of the spear, if you will, and in this case, he preached Christ while in chains, and other people were watching him. And they said, you know what? I agree with what he's saying. I didn't have the guts to say it myself, but I agree with what he's saying. Now it emboldens everyone else to say, yes, he's right. And they begin preaching the gospel. And that's what's needed. So I pray for courage for you all too. Me included. Me included. I know, just as a side note, I know at some point I'm called to politics. I do. And that is it. That's getting worse by the day. And I'm going to have to be emboldened in that way to have that strength. But so just within the mindset of the gospel, know that be strong and others will follow. Okay, last thing. Is it okay if I'm still running a little bit, Jamie? I'll end quickly. Just know the other thing that Paul talks about is preaching of the gospel, right? He mentions Christ preached 3 separate times. Preaching the word, preaching Christ, the word is spoken, etc. I want you to know one thing. We get, okay, the gospel. Yeah, the gospel is preached. Christ is preached. We get that. I'm not an evangelist. I want people to be saved. I love the Lord, of course, but that's not my gift. Like, I don't burn every day with the get out on the streets and try and evangelize everyone. That's just not me. That's fine. I have my place in the kingdom of God. That's fine. And if that's not you, if you're not one to preach Christ verbally, vocally to the masses, fine. But know this. Did you know that Christ in you is preached both verbally and non-verbally? Right? People are watching us. And I think studies have been done, it is proven that non-verbal cues, non-verbal communication actually are more impactful than what is said, verbal communication. And so know that Christ lives in you, the Spirit lives in you, and that people are watching, and they're going to see if your faith is real. And have you been transformed by the love of Christ? I'll just give you one last thing, and then I'll close, because I do want to leave time respectfully for the next service to come in. But this was, I can't remember if I shared this when I was here last time, but we had some friends of ours. We had just met them. This was within the year, and I don't remember exactly when, but we had just met some friends. Had never sat down with them for any length of time. But my dad was, who had just given his life to the Lord, like a year ago. So this is kind of, this whole Christianity thing is new to him. His son has been, you know, a pastor for quite some time, but for his faith, it's very foreign to him. It's very, very new. But he was in town, and we were invited over to some friends to sit down and have dinner. A cool night, power was out of all things, so we have candles and all this, and we're just talking. And we talked for 2 or 3 hours. Amazing. Just having fellowship, just having a good time, talking about dreams and just whatever. Just awesome. And I didn't realize, my dad was very quiet. But it was the most amazing thing. As we were driving home, he started breaking down and crying. He's like, you know, Jeff, he goes, that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. He goes, I didn't have much to talk about because you guys were talking spiritual things. He said, but I just sat back and watched the love that you have for each other. And I'd never seen that. He goes, I was just sitting and watching to see, honestly, if it was real or not. If you guys were just talking a good game, or if it was real. And he goes, it was real. He goes, that was something I've never seen before. He goes, that is so foreign to me. And here's my dad, late 60s, he's starting to cry. He's not a weepy guy. He was trying to keep it together, but he was crying. He was touched as we were driving home. And that's that nonverbal cue. Not once did we ever say, hey, Dave, how's your walk with the Lord? Like, none of that. It was just us just having dialogue because we love Jesus and we're just talking face to face. And people are watching. People are watching and they're like, I want that. Whatever's in that person, I want that. And that will bring the seeds. And then there will be some other evangelist to come in to water it. So as we see here, last thing, again, Christ has preached through you even in nonverbal ways. We're all chained to something. What we focus on, we make room for. We all have time, certain amount of time, limited time, but whatever we focus on, whether negative or positive, is what we make room for in our life. So let's make sure we do it correctly and it's godly. I mentioned Jesus had come to break the chains of affliction. And why does he do this? Most importantly, why? Because he loves you. He loves each and every one of us. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny and purpose for you. And he wants you to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 29:11, it's a famous verse. You've probably heard it a bunch of times. But the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so I'll just close in a prayer here. Lord, I thank you for this.